Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. This is G.R. Mobley, and we are Reclaiming the Republic. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org and even Republic Review. That's right, republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show, and I have to tell you this because you will not find any other show that actually has a real tangible solution that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution and have the states take over all those things not delegated within that Constitution like they're supposed to be. And so you will not find this content on television, at least until I move it there, and you won't find this content in any other medium or on any other station. So therefore, you need to kind of listen and you need to tune in. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. And that way you can get my podcasts, get the videos, and so forth. But I will get into that a little bit later. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. That would be 215-867-8255 or Top Talk, 215-TOP-TALK. I know everybody understands that I am out supporting the candidates that are willing to commit to protecting the citizens of their constituents and the citizens of their districts and so forth from federal tyranny, as well as because they're also protecting all citizens. Because when you take the stand against tyranny, federal tyranny, you're really doing it for all of us. So therefore, I'm kind of reaching out to all of the different candidates and trying to get both sides because, you know, just like the liberals and the people who are trying to buy influence, you want to hedge your bets. You don't want to just bet on one side of the race or the other. Unfortunately, it seems like in a lot of the races, there just seems to be one candidate that comes out. And I'm hoping that's not the case in the governor race in Wyoming. And I hope that's not the case in some of the state legislative races as well. But it seems like it is. It seems like, at least on the legislator side, there are the constitutionalists that are trying to oppose and unseat the, what do you want to call it, the establishment, the rhinos, whatever, in a lot of these dark red states where you would think that everybody would be on board with protecting the Constitution. Now, I do believe that there is a lot of hedging and fighting and so forth amongst the conservatives within the Wyoming governor race. And I'll give you my assessment. The three that are more on the establishment rhino side would be those who did not appear on the show for availing themselves. Now, they're welcome to contact me. I've reached out to them plenty of times, given them more than enough opportunities. And that would be, I'll just name first names. That would be Foster, Sam, and Mark. And so, unfortunately, those three candidates just refused, or they did not want to come on and talk about the Constitution, especially in context that the other candidates were, because I asked the exact same questions. I wasn't trying to do a gotcha type of question. I was just literally, as I said, and everybody that knows my content, everybody that knows my thesis and premise, as you listen to the show, you should completely understand that I have a different paradigm. So what I wanted to do was get a baseline paradigm of these individual candidates and then give them the information, which I've done that. They all have the information. They all understand Republic Review. At least they have the content to understand it, whether they've picked it up, whether they've done anything, because that's the other thing I found, that a lot of candidates don't even take the time. And, you know, the embarrassing thing is in the Idaho race, I had a few people to go, man, I should have read this sooner. You know, I would have been fully on board with this. I would have loved your help. And the whole thing is, I try not to go down the path of trying to provide a quid pro quo. And maybe that's what they might be looking for. I don't know. I mean, I'm only speculating. But I get it. These guys, these gals, these folks that get into these races, they become so possessed in trying to get the next vote, that they don't understand that they actually have an opportunity to differentiate themselves like never before. When it comes to I am a constitutional candidate, when you hear people say that, this gives it a whole new context of what a constitutional candidate means and what that statement says. And so, anyway, let me kind of move on. I do want you to know that on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can get my video, which is, I think, the fundamental video that, and it's my presentation on Republic Review. It's 30 minutes. Actually, I think the video is an hour and a half, but the first part of it, the first presentation, that's all you need to watch to really get a grasp on it. And therefore, you can get that off the Take Action page. You can get my podcast off of the different podcast pages. I have KSBN there, as well as some of my archives, as well as Red State Talk Radio. All my podcasts are there. So if you want to get informed, if you want to start learning what the framers, the founders, and our founding documents actually said, then you're going to get that from this program. This isn't about entertaining. This is about empowering you with knowledge so that you and the rest of us can start thinking and not groupthink, but thinking, you know, and working together, not necessarily stating that, you know, this is it, go follow this, and trying to create factions. That's the last thing I want to do. What I want to do is get us all on the same sheet so that we can all start working together. As I tell people, what GR has done, what I have done, is nothing no more than just really regurgitating what Thomas Jefferson started in his book, Notes on Virginia, that he published in 1785 or 1784. Anyway, he basically put the premise out that the stakeholders, the constituents, the states, or the people in a state case, but in the republic case or the constitutional republic case, it would be the states. The states would be the ones that would step forward and hold the federal government accountable to compliance to the Constitution or the contract, because bottom line is the compact. So anyway, I just want to point out that this really isn't about me and my idea, because this isn't my idea. I've been very clear on this. I've just been the one that's been able to analyze and extrapolate. And when you look at what Jefferson did, you have to agree, if you understand what I'm doing, or you'll have a hard time trying to prove it, because he literally audited the Constitution in his resolution with Kentucky in 1798. And in that process, he also called for the states to join with him in basically an audit process and rebuking the federal government and forcing them to comply. So they were going to go down that path, and they were going to give us the full bread trail crumb of how to maintain compliance from the federal government. The problem is that no other state other than Virginia wanted to get the federal government to comply at that point in time, because they were all federalists and they looked at what they were doing was a political advantage, and they didn't think the people would care. So they got away with it for a little while until the election came along. Then they realized, oh, the people did care, because the people threw their butts out. I mean, it's pretty simple. It literally happened almost that fast. Even though the Federalist Party didn't die completely, it died a slow death. And if you look at the process, and if you actually read James Monroe's biography, you'll literally understand that when he became president, at that point in time, you could just put the last nail in the coffin on the Federalist Party or the Nationalist Party, because there was really a unified party of Republicans at that point. There was no opposition. Everybody was loving the Republican form of government. It wasn't until the Democrats with Martin Van Buren came along and decided, which was basically taking these disenfranchised Federalists and all these other agenda type of parties, the Tories and so forth, and kind of putting together a new opposition party against the party of individual freedom and individual liberty. And that was the beginning of what I would call the party of slavery, because Van Buren was the one that put the gag rule on the Senate for slavery, and they became the one that had the notorious history of promoting slavery even after the emancipation. It is now industrial or international slavery and or corporate and government slavery. And even though they try to tell you they're not, that's exactly what they're doing. Anyway, I also want to point out that I do have that crowdfunding. I still haven't got the link up there, so if you're looking for it, I apologize. I will send the email out to the GoFundMe folks. I want to do it today, but it's Monday through Wednesday is really tough. So tomorrow I will get that out, and I'll make a note as soon as I hit the hard break to remind myself to do that, so that I can get that that link out there for everybody. If you want to engage, if, especially those who want to start contributing major dollars in getting some of this stuff done, because that's what it's going to take. There's just no way this stuff can be it can't be done on free. You can't go down to the grocery store and expect to come home with free eggs and free food and so forth. It requires something, and so I'm hoping that we can all get the blessings of contributing. Not that I'm tired of all the blessings that I'm getting, but there's no way the framers were able to do it on the backs of one man and Thomas Jefferson and or George Washington and or James Madison. They couldn't have done this all on their own. And so we do need help. So just a little groveling in hopefully getting people on board with supporting and helping this. But more importantly, I hope that everybody also understands this groveling also extends to, if you want to help me, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you can join the ranks of helping. I will head straight into this hard break, and then we'll start talking about some candidates when we come right back. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So thank you so much, and we'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so where are we with these candidates in Wyoming? Bottom line is I'm hoping to be able to at least get two, maybe three of the candidates. It'd be nice to have the Constitutional Party candidate, which would be Rex Rammel. And it would be nice to have a couple of others, maybe Bill, actually the other two, Bill, those who have been on the show, getting all of them to sign these pledges so that they are committed and they can prove that they're committed to supporting and defending and obeying the Constitution, not what we consider the federal government. the Constitution. There's a huge difference because the Constitution or the government is really we the people, not necessarily those elected officials. It does not say in their oath to obey and follow and defend the elected officials. It says that we're supposed to obey, defend the Constitution. So anyway, I'm hoping that by the end of this week, I can have this all resolved to know who is and who is not moving forward. With that, as I have looked through the news and looked out my window and in every aspect, there is no sign of the federal government releasing any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so that is why it is important that we continue, we pursue this with the tenacity of a bulldog and literally force the federal government to relinquish all of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. And I do have that standing question, and you're more than welcome to call in, because I would love to find out why other people would consider it important and or I'll even say essential in reading our founding documents on a regular basis. Just like, why is it essential to read scriptures or what have you? And with that, let me just move on to the historical perspective of treason. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this up at this point, because a historical consideration for us to start really thinking, because most people think that treason is limited to aiding and abetting our enemies. And they think that that is in context to external. And so let me kind of give you the first time treason was applied was shortly after the Declaration of Independence, January 2nd, 1776, the Tory Act was signed by Continental Congress. What that meant was that any loyalists that were supporting Britain from that point forward could be deported and kicked out. Now, they didn't, you know, follow through on that immediately. I mean, there may have been some that they grabbed by the scruff of the neck and threw out, but I don't think so. I think the majority of that happened after the Revolutionary War. But bottom line, they considered it treasonous to support Britain over this new founded United States. That's a little U, capital S, United States. So that wasn't necessarily aiding and abetting. That was just literally loyalist, but they did have some parameters on that. But let me expand this a little bit further. Let's go to Aaron Burr, one of the next big highlight cases, because there's been quite a few cases of treason. But Aaron Burr was kind of interesting because he was a candidate, and I think he was the vice president and then taken off the ticket in the second round with Jefferson's second term. And he ended up going to the West, and he went down to Louisiana and supposedly was trying to convince territories. Again, these are not states. These are territories that, you know, could rescind their application to being a state. I mean, look at all these territories that we still have today. It's not like we're, you know, forcing them to become a state. And as a matter of fact, there's some reasons why we may not want them to become a state, but they're still considered U.S. territories. Well, in this particular case, Louisiana was definitely a U.S. territory. And with Thomas Jefferson being the president that happened to buy that very specific territory, and if you think about it, he actually went about it unconstitutionally, but because it came back as a treaty with the Senate to sign, they were able to get it past that. The real problem Madison had with this, and I'm going down another rat hole, but the real problem with the Louisiana Territory was the federal government did not have the authority to necessarily possess, manage, and control all of that type of territory. Congress was supposed to manage territories in a very marginal sense, that territories were supposed to apply and so forth. But here we actually owned this land, and it was U.S. government land now, instead of conquest land or what have you. But anyway, so it literally changed the direction of how America started handling the frontier. Nevertheless, Aaron Burr went down there to basically try to create his own nation or his own empire. And that was considered treason. Now, what enemies was he supporting foreign and domestic? It wasn't. You understand my point? Some of these people that look at, you know, oh, well, there's this hard definition of treason that you have to support enemies, give comfort and or aid to enemies. And no, if we start looking, and I want you to consider California and the outright communist politicians who are seeking to undermine and discard our Constitution, not only just in California, but these progressive candidates, this communist candidate in New York that just won, that, you know, literally called out the incumbent for being a racist male, but that was the only thing. He was only guilty of being a particular race. Everybody has to be a particular race, right? We're not all the same, but regardless of the race, he was being called as a racist and being a male. And so they played identity politics and she won that election. But still, the intent is that they are looking to actually subvert our Constitution. I want you to consider all the players in contrast to what Burr was doing. Again, Burr was working in a territory. What would happen if somebody went down to the U.S. Virgin Islands? That's a territory, or Guam, a territory, a literal territory, or maybe even Puerto Rico, and said, you know what, we need to break this away, you know, and we have this great opportunity. Maybe they found something that they, you know, could all of a sudden start producing and become very wealthy and rich and didn't need the government teat of the United States anymore to supplicate them. And so they're, you know, happy to, you know, oblige this individual. And he becomes the new emperor of this new kingdom. Would we go after that person for treason? I don't think so. And so my point is that these people who are here deliberately working to undermine our system, you know, and they're not qualifying as treason in contrast to Aaron Burr. The only reason Aaron Burr got away with not being tried and hung is because they didn't have the evidence. We have more than enough evidence on Hillary. We have more than enough evidence on all these deep state players that they were committing treason. But the word treason is not coming across the lips of anybody. Have we lost the understanding of what treason really is? I mean, we can no longer limit it to this archaic and actually this poorly defined concept that it is giving a limited aid, or I shouldn't say limited, but aid and comfort to a very limited few, which are external enemies. We actually have within our oath of citizenship the fact that we're supposed to protect the Constitution from enemies, both external or, you know, foreign and domestic are the terms, not external and internal. But if we look at it in the actual oath terms, it would be foreign and domestic. So it must include the domestic enemies as well. And when we start looking at Bill Ayers and all of these communists who have done everything they can to undermine our Constitution and do kill people and so forth, bombings and all of that, I cannot understand how those guys never were tried for treason and hung. In essence, I and other patriots are considered the enemy today, because we are seeking to restore our constitutional republic, our hybrid constitutional republic. And I want you to think about that. I want you to really consider, why is it and how is it that those who want to cling to the true definition, the academic and irrefutable definition of our constitutional republic, how is it that we're the enemies in the minds and eyes of these, what I consider the domestic enemies, those who want to subvert and usurp and self-aggrandize? Even Washington warned us of those people who wanted to subvert and bypass the processes within the instrument. Clearly, the Constitution has an Article 5 process. If you want to take on a new power, you have to amend the Constitution. So every time they've usurped it, why is that not considered treason? It's undermining the Constitution, and it is undermining the stakeholders who have the inherent oversight responsibility of this contract. Why is it that we're not holding people accountable to the definitions that they actually held to way back when? Because remember, Jefferson and Madison, the author of the Constitution, was in office when they pursued Mr. Burr for his for his shenanigans down in Louisiana, and they considered those treasonous. I think we've been way too light, and we've been manipulated, and we've allowed the manipulation of marginalizing what treason really is. And I think this is a huge danger, my friends. I think that as we move through this, we actually have to restart. And I've even said this before, we have to start revisiting this concept of the Tory Act. Can we really afford to allow our enemies to run around among us? It's not that they just disagree politically. They're doing everything they can, or ideologically. It's not an ideological difference. This is a political war that they are waging against us, and they are doing everything to subvert and pervert our Constitution. I'm at a hard break, but I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so I just want to have one more go back. There are way too many people that are committing treason in America today based on what the framers considered treasonous. They couldn't fathom individuals that would literally want to abandon the established government without at least following the process by amending the Constitution and, you know, granting them, you know, a full democracy and eliminating the Article 5 process and so forth, because that would be the only way to do it. And I hope people are starting to recognize and realize how close we are to this precipice of falling off because of this infiltration. And actually, I'll even say it, because of our national indoctrination system, our good old education system. Well, with that, let me move forward a little bit and let me kind of cover some things, because I mentioned this earlier this week. Remember I said that we're finally getting to a point where the elitists in our society are now being held accountable in the aspects of this Me Too movement. And so in the Judge Roy Moore case, there was a lot of people that came forward. Whatever happened to that? Was Judge Roy Moore ever convicted of anything, or did they ever file any charges? I have yet to hear anything. Again, I'm not necessarily following it with the nth degree like some people should be. But I truly believe that everybody that came forward with Judge Roy Moore, and they don't have any evidence, they ought to be charged with making false accusations and interrupting the electoral process in the state of Alabama, and let them see their day in court so that Judge Roy Moore can have his justice. Because here is a person seeking the public trust and interest in seeking a public office, and somebody comes forward to deny him of this, and I think that is that's criminal. You should not be able to take away somebody's rights, opportunities, and access by false act. It's one thing if he actually committed a crime, but it has to go to court. And so I truly believe that there has to be a law. If you come forward in a political case, in a political aspect, in other words, somebody's running for office, and you have some Me Too type of charge against that person, it cannot be just something that's aired. It actually has to be actionable all the way through the court process. In other words, you pull the trigger, you're committed. That is it. You're going to court. And if you don't have the evidence, you go to jail. If you do have the evidence, then that person will be charged appropriately and go to jail themselves. Does that make sense? Because that's the only way, fair way we're going to be able to protect our electoral process, because they're going to constantly come up. That's what the progressives will do. They'll make all sorts of innuendos and assertions that will be unfounded, just probably like what that communist did with her, you know, white male counterpart, and ended up losing that race over that label or identity labeling and so forth. And bottom line, we have to start protecting our process, because the progressives have been subverting it, and they know what to do. So what happened to all those congressmen, by the way, that were outed in the Me Too as well? Here's the interesting thing. We're holding the standard on this Me Too movement that, oh boy, we got to go after everybody. But it doesn't seem like we really have a true justice for all type of thing, where we have a fair justice system. And I've actually talked about this in my book, but before I move forward on that concept, I would like to see all of these, you know, assertions and everything else actually ferreted out in the public, in what I mean by public arena, I mean in the court system. These congressmen, that some of those may have been really salacious things that have occurred, but some of those things may have actually been just trumped up charges to, you know, blackmail or, you know, extort or what have you. And I believe that everything should be, you know, fully investigated. That's full transparency. By doing that, it might actually change the behavior of people, or at least the character of people that are seeking public office, that maybe they might have a little better character that can't be impugned so easily. I don't know if you remember, I sure do, back in the 80s when, I forget, Vanessa Williams, I think, was the one that was dethroned by the Penthouse magazine, Miss America. And the following year, I think the Penthouse magazine came out and said, we have five contestants that we are going to out if she makes it, if she wins. And I think these were like the top contestants as well. And so what did they end up doing? They ended up selecting Miss Utah, who happened to be Mormon, because they knew she couldn't be impugned, or her character couldn't have been impugned. And so basically Bob Guccione, or whatever his name is, and Penthouse magazine kind of lost their relevance in that particular case. But anyway, I digressed again. But the whole point is that all of these congressmen, everybody, nobody's above the law, and it all has to be ferreted through the process if these things are legitimate, especially if they happen while they're in office. I don't have a lot of sympathy for a lot of that stuff that happened in Judge Roy Moore when he was younger, or whatever the laws were. This Me Too movement has to really start locking down to whatever the statutes of limitations and those types of things, because we cannot be passing ex post facto laws. I rail about this all the time, and it's not about protecting perps. It's about our system. Our system is designed to make sure that if, you know, we need to improve our laws, then we do, but they cannot be ex post facto. Something that was actually legal before, or, you know, a norm or a paradigm at that time. Okay, we want to change it. We change it moving forward, but we cannot go back and say we're going to hang everybody that even looked in that direction. That is just wrong. And so I truly believe, going back to my concept of justice for all, we don't have a fair justice system. And in my first book, when I talk about how to save the Constitution and so forth, I talk about how uneven and how unfair our justice system is. And I'll give you a good comparison. Let's just talk drunk driving. Every person in different walks of life has probably had, or I should say not every person, but there are people in every walk of life that have had their run-in at a drunk driving case. Now, we've got ball players, football players, baseball players, we have laborers, we have even politicians and so forth. And the process is, if you get a drunk driving ticket, then your bail is based on this $100,000, and it's equal for everybody. And the fines are equal for everybody as well. I truly believe that that's not fair. That is not justice, because a $100,000 fine to a guy that only makes $40,000 a year, that's more than twice his annual income. And to a baseball player who makes $12 million a year, that's nothing. That is literally nothing for him to write that check and walk out the next day. And then he doesn't even get the same treatment through the justice system. It's just brushed under the rug. How many times have we seen this? So what should happen is, we need to change the bail and we need to change the fee system so that it's based on your income, 1%, 100%, 50%, whatever that is, because that way it is, justice really becomes blind, because those who have affluence have and feel the same effect for their behavior. Because why is it that the person that is a happy, we can't hold somebody, accountable for not wanting to get an education because they're not seeking that much. They want to be available to their family. They look at all the sacrifices of everybody else making, all these insane salaries, and they go, I'd much rather spend my time with my families and just get by, as long as they're not on the government dole, right? As long as they're contributing to society, why is it that they have a harder shake when they make a mistake than anybody else? And so if you don't agree with this, think about it. Why is it that politicians, or I should say Hollywood stars, they don't even go to jail? They just write the check right there. They may actually go in, but they do not spend a minute in jail, because it's just literally taken care of that fast, because they have that kind of money and affluence. So what should happen is, when you do have a Hollywood star that gets drunk and, gets arrested, they have to go in, and then there has to be an assessment of what their annual salary is. And let's be clear, Hollywood stars don't necessarily make a lot of money every year. They make big bucks one year or a few years back. And so you have to start averaging income or what have you over a 10-year period. And so let's make this a process that they actually have to spend some time in jail. We have to figure out exactly what they're going to have to pay so that they have everybody gets their fair shot of punishment. We shouldn't have a quick exit door for the elitist in our society. That is the road of communism, because in an elitist society, they do not pay, or they are not held accountable to the same things as us minions. And this isn't about greed. This isn't about anything else. It is just literally trying to level the playing field to ensure that, if you are given much more in society, then you're going to be held accountable, to a higher level than the other people, or at least to the same magnitude and impact. I hope this all makes sense, but this has just been one of those many things that I've written about this, but I, may not inject this. So I figured I'd take the time now, because this Me Too movement really got me going. So anyway, let's get back to this election thing. And as we move into the last phases of the primaries and start moving towards the general election, I know that there are a lot of slam dunk races out there. If you are actually in a red state or a blue state, you may be in one of those races that it's just like, it is definitely the Hail Mary pass of trying to get somebody into office. And even all the money in the world may not do it, because that person is so locked. Well, I'm at a hard break, so I'm going to get back to these slam dunks as soon as we get back. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And as I was just saying going into the break, that there are a lot of races that really are slam dunks. Whether we like the fact that they're a slam dunk or not is neither here nor there. The fact is that if you can spend all your money on that race, it really won't make an impact. And actually, some of these races are even unopposed. I would look at going look into the red states. There are all sorts of races in Idaho, the Dakotas, and so forth, where there isn't even a Democrat opposing the individual running for office. You're talking about a backstroke into office. And so I would just beg and ask everybody to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to my candidate endorsements page. Those people right there are literally needing help because they actually have an opposition, and it is a conservative opposition, and they need your help. What I'm asking is not for a $100 check. I'm not asking for a big check of any kind. I'm just asking for you to give them $5. If you could just throw $5 at these folks, that would be a lot, especially the magnitude of how many people listen to this show. I would probably add it up to tens of thousands. If I could just get 50% of the people that listen to this show to contribute $5 to the four candidates. And so let me also say this. If you go to one of them, I think it's Clarence Stiver. He does not have a web domain. He's not a perennial candidate. He is not one of those guys that, you know, necessarily he's stepping in the ring because one, the seat was being vacated, and he basically was not going to see that seat being taken over by a rhino who he's running against. And so he does not have a web domain. So he has a Facebook page that you can kind of hit him up on. What I would ask, and this is the exact purpose of my GoFundMe account, if you can put the money into my GoFundMe account that exact and identify who that is going to, what candidate you want that to go to, then please do that. Every single dollar that I get out of that, minus the fees that GoFundMe take, will literally go to the candidate in time for him to be able to receive and spend that money to getting into office. I am here to help, and I'm asking everybody to become a part of the solution and to step away from being a part of the problem. We have to work together if we are going to solve this problem. It cannot be riding on the backs of one or two or a few.
That has been predominantly the problem. That is the predominant problem within the workplace. It seems like the work is typically being done by a small percentage of the folks, and then the rest of the work, you know, a small amount of work is being done by the rest. And we've got to stop changing. We've got to stop doing this, folks. We have to start getting involved. We have to start asserting ourselves. When are we going to be able to start looking at ourselves in the mirror? And I mean, I know many of you can. It's about now stepping out and a little bit further. In the Marine Corps, we called it a full 30-inch step. Everybody's taking steps, but are you taking that full 30-inch step in doing what you're supposed to be doing and doing it with authority? And my point in this is that if you want to take that full 30-inch step, $5, it will not fast. If you're tight for money, then fast. There's no better way of consecrating that money anyway for a good purpose. This is not just in getting somebody a job. This is somebody that has dedicated and signed a pledge to protecting us and standing up to the federal government and moving this forward. This is more than just an election and or contributing to somebody and getting into office without any promises. There is a tangible pledge that these people have committed to. And so I hope this is more than worthy of everybody in considering contributing to this. And so I might be railing a little bit long on this, so I'll just move forward. I know I bring this up a lot, and I know that the prevailing sentiment in every state and community, and yet too few are willing to step up and out, as far as those of us that are living in our communities. So instead of me pointing the finger and letting me try to identify who's and what's, let me try a different tact. Let me just say this. Where is the leadership? I know there are people that are capable of leading. And the question is, who is willing to take the necessary steps to clean up this mess? This is exactly what I've been talking about. You do not hear and you do not see any leadership. There are all sorts of people that want to take your money for, you know, conservative entertainment television and for listening to them buy their books. I don't even peddle my books. I will tell you what's in my books, and if you want to get into those, that's fine. I don't do book tours, and I'm not going to. I truly believe that you can judge a person by their acts and their deeds, and that's it. And I am not seeing the acts and deeds by any of these folks other than what they need to do to expand their market. I'm not trying to poke anybody in the eye, but I guess I am, because bottom line, again, you can judge a person by what they do instead of what they say. And if you think, you know, your area, your town, your county is a mess, and you want to blame the dismal politicians in your area, then you're completely wrong on this. It's the communities. It's the people. It's either you hiding or your neighbors hiding, or it are those few folks that are buying influence for their own agendas to help themselves at your expense. And that's all happening because you're not participating. So who are those seeking that help? Who are those seeking that affluence and that buying payola, whatever you want to call that? Well, most states have a political, you know, contributions discovery page where you can go and look. And unfortunately, too many people don't. In Washington State, it's called the PDC. I think it's the Public Disclosure Committee or something like that. Go look. Go find out. Call these people out for who's buying their influence, whether it be labor unions or so forth. It's way too often that people don't know. These things are accessible to everybody, and it should be common knowledge so that when you walk up to the cooler and say, "Did you see? I can't believe that they're taking money from that organization." Every community, every state, every county, city, and what have you, we all need to start setting up impeccable organizations that are centered on the Constitution. And there are too few that are doing that. As a matter of fact, there isn't one. Even more importantly, let me rail on government organizational problems, regardless of whether they're here in your community, in your state, or at the national level. One thing I was confronted with as literally a leader and a manager of a global company was structural alignment and realignment. I had a vast degree of disciplines within my organization, within my group. And there was a time, and there have been times, when somebody would come along and say, hey, we believe that your network engineering would be better suited if we move them over here underneath hardware instead of your integration group. And so instead of fighting and saying, no, I need to grow my empire, you know, I said, you're making a good point. So we allowed that to happen. And unfortunately, their points kind of fell flat. But regardless, you have to be flexible in looking at how we can improve efficiencies and effectiveness. In government, these folks that are always trying to build empires are usually what we call empire builders, and their only solution is a bigger organization. God forbid they give up a part of their organization to another entity like I did for better efficiency and better effectiveness, because bottom line, if you're not doing that in business, you are failing, you're losing money, and you're going to be beaten by your competitor. There's no competition in government, but it doesn't mean that they can't be more efficient and more effective. And we can't allow them to continually do this. They're bleeding us, and all these empire builders are getting away with it. Somehow, these despotic-minded managers believe that they are the ends to solve all problems, and history and empirical data only proves this wrong. Again, people, we must start stepping up and out. Not just businesses, but people as well. We all have to start getting out of our comfort zone and actually asserting that we want to protect our individual liberty. Put the party away. Put everything, all these other agendas away, and step up and step out for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. When we do that, then who can attack you on that? Who is it that says, no, I don't want liberty. I want government to tell me what to do with every facet of my life. I mean, what a moron, right? I can't even imagine a Democrat or even a blue-collar union worker saying that they want government to manage every facet of their life, that they don't want to have sovereignty, and the ultimate say, take away my ability to vote, because that's what sovereignty is. I can't emphasize enough how important it is that everybody vote, and that we need to start literally, and I literally mean this, we need to literally start overwhelming the systems with maximum participation. As I said yesterday, the system is culpable and capable of being overran, or not say overran, but manipulated by designed outcomes, literally by allowing people to make adjustments to those outcomes because there's such a low voter turnout. It is, as this election expert that I talked to yesterday and was on my show today, my local show, she clearly stated that when you have a low voter turnout, it's easy to manipulate things. But when you have a high voter turnout, it's hard because you're constantly adjusting the outcomes and you just can't keep up with it. My friends, make sure we get out and vote and make sure we're committed to being a part of the solution. I'm G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help. God bless, and I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.